Let's dive into God's word together. We've been systematically, expositionally walking through the book of Matthew, and we are in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. When you've arrived to the text, say word. Can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and he began to pluck heads of the grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is lawful, what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered into the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had not known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And he went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched out his hand, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Let's pray together. Father, again, we are faced with great truth in your word. We see the difficulties, the dangers of legalism, of a hardened heart, of people who were exposed to your Son, God with us, Emmanuel. They saw his power. They even asked of him to exercise his power, but yet they did not believe in him. So God, I pray, if we are struggling with a legalistic heart, that you will convict us. And you will show us that being in a relationship with you is resting in the work of your Son. We believe, and we are justified, which means we are made right. And because we have been made right, we therefore are able to do good works. We don't believe and do good works, and therefore we are justified. We're not saved because of the works that we are doing. We are saved because of faith and trusting in the work that Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. So God, I pray that we rest in that this morning. In your mighty and precious name, God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is titled, "The Dangers of Legalism." The Dangers of Legalism. What is legalism? If our PowerPoint was working, you would see the definition up there, but it's not, and therefore just listen very carefully to the definition of legalism. Legalism involves working in our own power, sometimes according to God's law, and other times according to our own rules, in order to earn God's favor. Let me read this again. Legalism involves working in our own power, sometimes according to God's law, and other times according to our own rules, in order to earn God's favor. That we think if we do good things, God will accept us. That's how God will accept us. But I think we must be very careful not to disconnect ourselves with the Pharisees. We know that the Pharisees were very legalistic. And it's quite often for us, what we do is we disconnect ourselves with them. We say, well, they are legalistic, but we're not. But I think it's important for you to know this, that we were all born with a legalistic heart. Every single one of us. This is the core of all religions. Most religions, except Christianity. Christianity preach that we trust in the work of Jesus Christ. It's about grace. Christianity denounces legalism, but all other religion promotes legalism. In other words, all other religion says that you must do good works to gain salvation. That's why you have people who go to the Hindu temple to worship God, their God. The Muslims go to the mosque to worship Allah. And they do these things basically as a sense of work rather than trusting in who God is. So at the core of most religion, with the exception of Christianity, it's all about rules and regulations. Christianity says, trust in the finishing work of Jesus Christ. And because of your trust in Jesus, he will work through you and for you. Christianity does not denounce good works. It supports it. It encourages it. But it says to us that we must first trust in Christ and then do good works. We don't do good works to be able to be approved by Jesus. Good works is the result of a genuine life, a genuine saved life. So we must be careful, beloved, that when we attempt to read the word, that we say, we are not reading enough, so God is not approving of me. We are not praying enough, so God, you're not pleased with me. We're not fasting enough, so God, you're not pleased with me. We're not worshiping enough, God, you're not pleased with me. We must be careful. We're not acting like the other religions. But we must trust in the work of Jesus Christ. Do you notice in the text, this is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They took God's law and they added rules and regulations to his law. And they were telling people, this is what you must do to gain access to God, to be acceptable in the sight of God. And this is exactly what Jesus is denouncing. Notice with me very carefully. In these 14 verses, verse 14 is the key to understanding all of this. Notice in verse 14 how it ends abruptly. It's kind of dramatic a little bit. We see in verse 14 what is mentioned, and it says in the text, it says this, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Why? Because Jesus had a different view on the Sabbath? It just seems a little dramatic that you want to kill Jesus because of this. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Jesus went against the religious, the backbone of their religion, of their religious system, which was legalism. Jesus went against it, and because Jesus went against that, they conspired to come against Jesus. They even went to the Herodians, and the Herodians were basically of the people, the group of people who supported the social establishment. The Pharisees were more of the religious establishment. They hated each other, but they came together to destroy Jesus, to kill Jesus. Why? Because Jesus exposed their legalism. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Jesus in this text is helping us see that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and there is rest. Whereas legalism and the Pharisees, their yoke was hard and their burden was heavy. And therefore, there was no rest at all for God's people. Do you get this? Legalism makes the yoke hard and heavy. Are you struggling with legalism? Are you? My prayer is that you will turn to Jesus and see the great rest that he provides for us. Notice with me very carefully what we are going to see. There are three reasons why legalism is dangerous in this text. Three reasons. One, legalism adds to the requirement of God's word. We see this in verses 1 through 2. It adds to the requirement of God's word. Legalism ignores the exceptions in God's word. Jesus mentioned to the Pharisees, why don't you see in scripture? And he gives them two cases. One was the case of David, and the other was the case of the priest in the temple during Sabbath. So he's explaining to them in scripture of the exception. Notice as well, we see this in verses 3 through 8. And finally, third point, legalism misses the heart of God's word. Legalism misses the heart of God's word. Notice with me the first point. Legalism adds to the requirement of God's word. Thus far, in the Gospel of Matthew, the religious leaders have asked Jesus four questions. And these four questions are meant to indict him, to trap him. The first question we notice in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus healed the paralytic man. And according to Mark's parallel account of this, it mentioned as Jesus was interacting with this man, Jesus turned to the man, the paralytic man, and says, your sins are forgiven. And then the Pharisees asked this question in their mind, in their heart. Who is this man that he can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. And therefore, what they were saying is, Jesus, you are blaspheming. You are saying that you are God, but you are blaspheming. Only God can forgive sin. Then the next question, it deals with more of Jesus hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. We notice this in the book of Matthew. As he is spending time with the tax collectors and sinners, that the Pharisees and religious leaders ask, why is it that Jesus is hanging out with sinners? In other words, he should be a holy rabbi. Doesn't he know this? That if you are holy, you don't hang out with unholy people? Again, this is an indictment. The third question dealt with fasting. And they said to Jesus and his disciples, why is it that we, the Pharisees, are fasting and John's disciples are fasting, but Jesus, you are not fasting and your disciples are not fasting? In other words, Jesus, you claim to be holy in God and you claim to be all of these things, but you're not even following what Scripture says. And here in this text, they're asking Jesus this question. Why is it that you guys are being unholy when it comes to the Sabbath? You are breaking the Sabbath. And listen, this is by far one of the most important Jewish rituals in that time. As a matter of fact, the two things that really distinguish a Jew from other nations was the fact that they were circumcised and they were keeping the Sabbath. This is what they believed. So Jesus breaking the Sabbath, according to them, was a serious issue. And they're seeing that Jesus is getting worse and worse and worse. Jesus is constantly coming against their legalistic system. First, he's claiming to be God and he can forgive sin. Then he is disregarding what it means to be holy. Then what he's doing is he's saying he doesn't fast like we are fasting. Now, the Sabbath? He's going to attack the Sabbath? Do you understand exactly what they were doing here? And I want you to get this, and I want you to come in closer and really get this. What they were doing here is that they changed the word of God. They were adding to the word of God. There's no place in Scripture that says you cannot walk and grab grains. As a matter of fact, Scripture says otherwise. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says this, Deuteronomy 23:25. Notice what it says. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So we know in Scripture, it was fine for them to do this. So what was the problem of the religious leaders? It was they added to the word of God. This is the problem with legalism. We add to the word of God. And notice how they added to the word of God. They believed the Pharisees had established 39 categories. Don't miss this. Watch this. The Pharisees establish 39 categories of action forbidden on the Sabbath based on their interpretation of the law of God and Jewish customs. In the Talmud, which is the Jewish interpretation of the law, there were 24 chapters. Are you getting this? 24 chapters on the Sabbath alone. One rabbi said it took him 2.5 years to read only one chapter. On a simple law, the Lord gave, rest on this day because I am holy. The Sabbath is to stop working, to reflect upon the sovereignty of God, to reflect upon who he is. The Sabbath was meant to help man, to slow down, to stop working, to focus on who God is. God created the Sabbath before anything else. God rested himself. You remember? He created the world and God rested. Why did he rest? God didn't rest just because he was tired. God rest because he was done. And God has commanded us as human beings to rest, especially in our busy world, right? We're so busy. We do a lot. The Sabbath is meant for man. It's meant to help man. And what they did with the Sabbath is that they turned it around and they put a lot of burdens on the hearts of the people. This is why Jesus is going against what they were doing. Now, I want you to get this because according to the law, in the Talmud, there are several things that the people could not do on the Sabbath. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Don't miss this. Watch this. This is what the law says. If you dislocated a shoulder or a toe or any body part, you could not put it back in place until the Sabbath. That's a lot of pain. Doesn't seem like God loves me if I'm in pain that way, right? If your roof collapsed and someone dies, you could not move the dead body until after the Sabbath. You cannot carry anything that weighs more than a dry fig. You cannot take a shower because by taking a shower, the water that comes off your body can wash the pavement, which is considered to be work. These are the rules and regulations of the religious leaders, and this is why they were very legalistic. Brothers and sisters, I want you to get this. The Sabbath became such a burden on the hearts of the people that it was easier to work 6 days out of the week than even rest on the Sabbath, because there was no resting. There were too many rules, there were too many regulations, and the people of God were burdened by it. That's what Jesus is attacking. Jesus is attacking legalism that seeks to add to God's word. Now, coming closer, and I don't want you to miss this. We all are susceptible to being legalistic. At the same time, I think we're dealing with a generation that we are very quick to say everything is legalistic. Every rule, every discipline. We see someone who is very disciplined and we automatically say, well, he is very legalistic. Well, he has rules. He is very legalistic. I don't want to go to a church that has a lot of rules. It is very legalistic. Brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful. Discipline is not legalistic. Rules doesn't mean you're legalistic. So here are a few questions to gauge whether we are being legalistic or we are being disciplined. Whether our rules are meant to help us or rules are meant to hurt us. So 5 questions to gauge our hearts. Listen to the first one. First, does love govern the rules you follow? You have rules in your life. You have rules as believers. Does love govern the rule that you follow? Ask yourself this question. Or is it judgmentalism? There are rules and I judge everyone around me because they're not complying to my rules. Does love govern the rules that you follow? Notice the second question. Does the rule serve God's purposes? Does it serve God's purposes? Or is it serving just your purpose? Notice with me as well the third question, to evaluate our hearts, to make sure that our rules and our discipline is not legalism. Does the rule reveal God's character? Character such as mercy and justice and love and compassion. Does it reveal God's character? If it's not revealing God's character, then there is a serious problem. Fourth, does the rule that we follow help people get into God's family, or does it keep people out of God's family? This is an important question. Does it help people see who God is? Or people look at the rules in our lives and they say, man, this is not attainable. And finally, and most importantly, does the rule have strong biblical roots? Does it have strong biblical roots? This is how we can gauge if we are being legalistic or we are disciplined. We need to be disciplined. There's a fine line between the two, right? Because we sometimes see someone who is very disciplined and we say to ourselves, well, man, he's very legalistic. It doesn't mean that he's legalistic. If there's no love, there's no biblical root for what he's doing, if he's only thinking about himself, self-preservation, and he's not thinking about others, if he's not showing the character of God in his rules, then that's a problem. But notice with me the second point. We see that legalism adds to the word of God, but legalism ignores the exception in God's word. It ignores the exception in God's word. See for yourself in verses 3-8. Verses 3-8, Jesus is going to answer. They're asking him, Jesus, why are you disobeying the Sabbath and your disciples? And Jesus is answering here, brothers and sisters. See what Jesus mentioned. The first thing he says to them is, have you not read what is in Scripture? And I don't want you to miss this. Don't miss this. This is profound. Jesus then is turning to the Pharisees, who are men of the word. They were priests. They were people who interpreted the word of God. They were the modern day pastors. They were supposed to expose the word of God. And Jesus says to them, have you not read? And by that, Jesus is not saying, well, you've never read the scripture. But Jesus is saying, you read the scripture, but you never understood the scripture. This is an indictment. You read these scriptures all the time and you miss what scripture is saying. And this is another problem with legalism, is because we read the scripture for information and pleasure rather than understanding. Do you get this? We read it for information only. We read it like a telephone book or encyclopedia so that we can be good in Bible trivia. When someone says something to us about the word, we are quick to say to them, here's the reference. When we hang out with our friends, we are quick to say, this is what scripture says. But if we just read the word just for information, we find ourselves puffed up and not better. Do you get this? Don't miss this. Puffed up, but not a life that has changed. Here's the other one. We read the word for pleasure. We read it like a comic book. We read it because of all the great stories that's in it. I mean, it's fascinating. Jesus walking on water. Jesus feeding 5,000 with two loaves. We read stories in the Old Testament of the great things that God is doing. It's so fascinating that we find that Hollywood wants to capitalize on the great stories of the Bible. They're making movies. They want to capture all the great things in the Bible. Why is that? Because they're reading it only for pleasure. But brothers and sisters, when we read the word of God, we read it not only for information and for pleasure. We should feel excited when we read the word and fascinated by the great miracles of Jesus. But we read the word primarily to understand his word. Don't miss this. And I want you to get this. It's too long for you to write, but I want you to listen. So all eyes up and listen to this. Reading the Bible for understanding, which always includes information and may well include pleasure, means you are engaged with it. responsive to it, accountable for what you learn from it, and open to new directions. That's the difference between reading the word to understand rather than just only information and pleasure. And this is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here. You're reading the Bible, you're reading the law just for information, to put heavy burdens on people. So when people say something, you're quoting scripture very quickly, but you don't get it. You don't understand. And what Jesus does then is that Jesus turns to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he says, let me give you two cases. Let me give you two instances in scripture that really talks about it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. The first is the case of David. The case of David in 1 Samuel 21. But it mentions in that very text, and this is what Jesus is referring to. It mentions in that very text that Saul was seeking to kill David. David ran to a place where the priests were. Ahimelech was the chief priest then, the priest who took care of all the things in the temple or in the synagogue or the place of worship. And when David went in, David asked him for food. David was hungry, and his men were hungry. And the only food that they had were the showbread, the bread of presence. These were 12 loaves that represented basically the 12 tribes of Israel. They were placed right next to the Ark of the Covenant, which shows that God is sovereign over the nation of Israel, that God cares for his people. So the priests were commanded to put those loaves there every day and then changed it every day. The priests were commanded to eat it as well, but not just anyone. So David walks into the temple and he asks for food, and the priest gave him that. But not just David, but all his men that were with him. And Jesus calls the Pharisees and he says, do you see what David did? And do you notice that God did not discipline him? Why do you think David did this? He was hungry. And God used this very thing to satisfy and meet David's needs. So Pharisees, coming closer, Jesus is saying, coming closer, and don't miss this. God doing this is saying, it is good, it is good, it is acceptable in God's sight to do good on the Sabbath. This is Jesus's point here. It is acceptable in God's sight to do good on the Sabbath. In other words, the ceremonial was set aside by necessity. The ceremonial was set aside by necessity. If David was right, then his need at that moment supersede the normal rules that would have restricted the use of the consecrated bread for the priests. Do you get this? Jesus is saying, you don't understand scripture, buddy. Scripture is okay with this. But you are putting heavy burdens on people. The next example that Jesus gives to help his accusers see that scripture is okay with this, scripture gives exceptions, is that he calls them to see the priests working in the temple. A very logical argument. Very logical argument. And that's mentioned in the book of Numbers, Numbers 28, verses 9 through 10. And Jesus says, look at the priests. Every single time they're in the temple, and what they're doing is that they're sacrificing animals, which is work. They're burning incense, which is work. But God is not condemning them for this. But you, with your rules and your regulations, all you're doing is that you're putting heavy burdens on people. Do you notice how scripture is good? How Jesus is using scripture to debunk his accusers, men who supposedly should be holding the word of God up highly, but are not. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Are you legalistic? Are you judgmental? Are you putting heavy burdens on people? Are you not understanding Scripture? Are you reading Scripture only for information and pleasure so people can see how spiritual you are? Or do you fully understand Scripture? Understanding Scripture, one of the things I notice is this. You will have a great desire for God and a great desire for people. Anytime people make much of Scripture and don't care for people, that's a problem. Because what Scripture does changes our hearts. It gives us the heart of God, which is to make much of Him and to help others. So are we thinking of others? Or are we just very legalistic? Notice in the text as well what Jesus mentions. Jesus then turns to them and He says something very profound. One who is with you is greater than the temple himself. Do you notice what Jesus mentions in the text? See, He says to them in verse 6, I tell you something greater than the temple is here. Now, brothers and sisters, stop. What is Jesus saying? The temple represented God's presence among His people. It was where God dwelt, according to the people. Jesus saying, one who is greater than the temple is here, Jesus is making a profound statement that He is God. That He is Emmanuel. That He is walking among the people. He has a relationship with them. Do you get what He is saying? But not only does He say He is greater than the temple, that He is God. Notice the next thing that He says. He mentions in the text that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Again, the phrase Son of Man is a title given to the Messiah. Jesus is making another great proclamation here that He is the Messiah, that He is Lord of the Sabbath. He determines what the Sabbath is and how we ought to practice the Sabbath. Jesus is making a great proclamation here, brothers and sisters. But see for yourself the third and final point. Legalism misses the heart of God's word. But see, in the first incident that we notice, Jesus declares Himself authoritative over the Sabbath. In the second incident, we notice Jesus demonstrates His authority as Lord of the Sabbath. And this is what He's going to do. He's going to demonstrate His authority as Lord of the Sabbath. In verses 9 through 14, Jesus then mentions and they ask Him a question. They ask Him, should you heal this man on the Sabbath? And this was a trap according to the Scripture. They brought this man with a shriveled hand. And they said to Jesus, are you going to heal him? Which is profound to me because one, Brother Jerry, they know of the power of Jesus. They are affirming that Jesus can heal. And yet they're choosing not to believe in Him. So this is a trap. Can you heal this man? Will you heal this man? Because if Jesus would have healed this man on the Sabbath, they will say, well, Jesus is breaking the Sabbath. But notice what Jesus does. He knows their hearts. In Mark, parallel passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 3, verse 5, when they asked this question, it mentioned, and He looked around them with anger and grieved at the hardness of heart and said to them, to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and his hand was restored. They asked this question. They're willing to put Jesus in a trap because of the hardness of their hearts. Now, notice what Jesus does. Calls the man. He asked the man to stretch out his hand. The only thing the man could not do. But with the power of Christ, he was able to do this. Then he opened his hand. And according to Scripture, his hand was restored just like the other one. But then he turns to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And he asked them this. Notice in your own Bible. See what he says. He says, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. very simple and logical explanation. You have animals. They fall. You don't want to lose their lives. So what you do is you save them. What about God's people? In other words, you care more about animals and yourself than you care about God's people. That's the problem with legalism. It's all about self-preservation and never thinking about others. So Jesus attacks that, and Jesus heals the man. Now, I don't want you to miss this, because this is profound. Jesus turns to the law, the very word of God, and shows that the law and the word of God permits for this man to be healed. But don't miss this. The law in itself could not heal the man. Only Jesus could heal him. Do you notice what Jesus is doing here? Only Jesus can heal him. Only Jesus can give us the grace to enter into the joy of obedience to God's command. Grace produces obedience, not legalism. Only Jesus could have done this. And what we do in our own religion, in religion altogether, the religious people, the ones who are not born again and saved, and the ones who don't understand the grace of God, this is what they say: I obey, therefore I am accepted. No, that's not right. Jesus is teaching, and Christianity says, I am accepted, therefore I obey. I am accepted, therefore I obey. And this is very important. Because if we don't get this, this is a matter of heaven or hell. This is a matter of being a Christian or not being a Christian. If we think that our obedience is what makes us justify before God, then we have a serious problem. What makes us right before God is our faith in Jesus Christ. And here is what Jesus is saying. This is the matter here. Because with the religious leaders, they were saying, you must observe the law. And only by your observance of the law, God will accept you. And Jesus is saying, that's a lie. That's a legalism. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith and belief. And when you believe, you are justified, meaning you are made right. And then comes obedience. That's the message of Christianity. That's the message of what it means to be free in Christ. So coming closer, as we observe this text, do you struggle with legalism? Are you a legalist? Do you add to the requirements of God's word? Do you add to God's word? Do you ignore the exceptions in God's word? And finally, do you miss the heart of God's word? The heart of God's word is grace and mercy and compassion and love. It is not self-preservation, but it's caring for others. It is seeing God for who he is, worshiping the great God, understanding his attributes, and with that, we desire and love and care for people. Do you struggle with legalism? Let's pray. Father, I know that we are all susceptible, falling in the pit of legalism. And God, some of us, what we tend to do is we push so hard against it that we find ourselves on the other spectrum, where we think every rule, every law, every regulation is wrong. But true freedom is in you. That we understand what grace truly is. I pray, Father, as we observe in this text the hardened hearts of the Pharisees, that we are desiring not to be as hardened. That God, we turn away from sin that can cause us to be legalistic. we turn away, God, from our desire to for self-preservation. But God, we pray that we see your word for what it is, that we truly understand your word. So speak to our hearts. Help us, God, as we cast ourselves on your mercy, on your love, on your grace, on your compassion. Help us see that we're not saved because of anything good in us or what we have done or what we will do, but we are saved because of our faith in Christ alone. So help us find our identity. When we feel weak, when we're exhausted, when we're trying to do things, God, just to please you, and we find that we cannot do it, let us rest in the work of Christ. Let us see that you are well pleased in Christ, that you love your Son, and because of his righteousness and his work that is imputed upon us, that is placed upon us, that you accept us. Help us, Father. In your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Please respond to God.